This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz. Thanks for joining me. My name is John Leary and this is the Saturday Quiz. On this podcast, I ask the questions and answering them is the job of my guests. Just like last week, on this episode, we are celebrating the return of live theatre, this time in Sydney. The Boomkak Panto has recently opened on the Belvoir stage and quite frankly, I have not read a more universally glowing set of reviews for a show in my life. Today, I am joined by two of the performers from that show, which one of them also wrote and co-directed. Welcome to the show, Rob Johnson, and for a record-equaling third time on this podcast, Virginia Gay.
Hey! Oh my God, oh, I'm so honoured. Who am I record-equaling with?
You are record-equaling Zoe Coombs-Moore.
Oh my God, I'm honoured.
Yeah, how about that?
Champion, yes please.
I'm excited to be on the board for my eventual
for your first time
appearances on this. You've got to start with one, don't you?
Wow, but he's really pitching big really early, isn't he? All right.
Well, I'll get you on it again, Rob, depending on how well you do this time. Do you think, Rob, that you might have any expert category in the way of quizzes?
It's hard to say. I guess my cricket knowledge is maybe like higher than the average cricket knowledge.
Cricket is an unusual one for this podcast. I've had Adam Zwar on the podcast, and he is a big cricket nut.
Yeah.
But you are as well. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there is no cricket question on this quiz this week.
Of course.
I'm sorry. What have we decided that your expert category is, Virginia Gay?
Blind confidence, I think, is my expert category. Saying something in a really positive and, like, assured way and then immediately being proven wrong. So you're welcome, Rob. Also makes me a great director, I think.
Really good. Helpful. Tell me about the show. How's it been going?
It's going
brilliantly. The reviews, as I said in the intro, are just, across the board, amazing.
Oh, thanks, mate. We wanted to make something that was filled with joy and filled with excitement and filled with, like, just triumph and pleasure and, like, everything that's great about live theatre. And we had no idea, of course, that this would be the very thing that was on, scheduled to be on just as we were coming out of lockdown. So this was meant to be the end of Belvoir's great return season and, like, a thing that we were aiming towards. But now it's this, like, we're back and everybody's coming up for air and everybody's enjoying the show so much, which is just glorious.
It's fantastic. I'm devastated that I won't get up to Sydney to see it. I'm so sad.
We will have to bring it to Melbourne. We'll see
you
what we can
must.
Do.
Please.
It also contains some of the most glorious performances in, I mean, Australia, maybe the world, particularly Rob Johnson, who plays our two villains.
Double villain.
There's a big bad boy. That's our Rob Johnson.
I wear a cape in the show.
And a twirly moustache. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's on a string.
All right. Well, there's no villainy allowed here, but let's crack into the quiz.
Let's do it.
We'll be right back.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
You're listening to the Saturday Quiz. My guests today are Rob Johnson and Virginia Gay, and this is question number one. Which actress links the films Monster, Mermaids, and Belle Ami?
Got it. Yes, got it?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it?
Who is
Christina
it?
Christina Ricci. Yeah.
It is Christina Ricci. Well done. Which ones particularly gave it away?
I think Monster, then to Mermaids.
Yeah.
Because I was like, Shares in Monster? That's amazing. And I was like, wait a minute.
No, yes. The star of Monster is Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Cher was in Mermaid. I always say it wrong. Along with...
I'm a bad person.
I don't know. Am I saying it
no,
wrong?
No, it is. It's Cher.
Cher, yeah, Cher.
And Winona Ryder and tiny little baby Christina Ricci.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Was it her first gig?
Was her film debut.
Oh,
yes. It was indeed. And have you heard, seen, or in any other way consumed the film Bel Ami?
No. Is it just out now?
No, it's a few years old.
Oh, right. What's it about?
It's based on a French novel. And Robert Pattinson plays the lead. And how's this for a critique? Roger Ebert, the film critic, wrote of Bel Ami, "The women are all elegant and intelligent. They know the ways of the world and they know George's history." So Robert Pattinson is playing George. "Why do they find him attractive? We don't. And that failure is the downfall of the film."
Jesus.
Oh, I know, he
Christ.
Didn't hold back. But he did say of Christina Ricci and her performance, "Her character makes the mistake of actually loving George. This involves pure acting skill on her part, since Pattinson gives her so little to work with."
Oh, isn't that
rough?
Come on.
Yeah.
Happy bit of Rog.
well done, though. You got that one very quickly.
Thank
Here
you.
We go. Question number two. What is the nickname of Western Australian mining magnate Andrew Forrest? And there's a bonus point.
We've got it.
It's also the name of my favourite model.
Twiggy!
That is indeed true. And there's also a bonus point for naming the company he founded, of which he is now chairman.
Forests International.
No, it does start with F.
Fuck the Land International.
But it's
Fortescue?
Fracking Enterprises?
Look at you, Rob Johnson.
Was that correct?
Fortescue Metals
great.
Group.
Huh.
Yeah.
Cool. Cheers.
Hey, cheers.
Well done.
Definitely thought you made that up.
I mean, I guess maybe I knew that because it was a specific word, but it felt like a guess, so I'm thrilled.
Well, it was in there somewhere and you dragged it out. Well done. All right, question number three. The Atlas Mountains are on which continent?
Mm.
How's your geography?
Okay, so I'm going to say this is my thinking here. So Atlas,
yes.
Atlas is a Greek myth.
Yep.
So I would say that they were in Greece on a border somewhere, and therefore I would say that they are in Europe.
I am going to agree. Europe.
Okay, you're right that it is a Greek myth, that Atlas was the brother of Prometheus.
Mm. Held the world up on his shoulders. We've all
Not
felt
the
it.
World, held the sky up.
Oh, really? Didn't know that.
Yes, okay. Punished by Zeus for his role in the... I'm not sure how to say this. The Titanomachy, which is the war between Titans and the Olympians,
the new gods. Yes,
and so he was punished by having to hold up the sky.
Okay, so if
so it was essentially at the edge of the world at that time,
so
of their world.
One of those.
So. Southwest of where
Southwest.
Southwest of Greece.
Africa.
Africa.
Ah!
Yeah.
What
have
I got?
Just like what's directly underneath? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
He was relieved of holding up the sky. Do you know who helped him out for a little while?
Hercules?
Yes, Hercules or Heracles.
Oh, Heracles.
Relieved him momentarily so that Atlas could go and get the Hesperidian apples.
Ah, the apples.
So Heracles, one of his tasks was to get these golden apples that were guarded by Atlas's daughters, the Hesperides. So he went, "Don't worry, I'll hold up the sky for you. You go get the apples. Thanks very much." And Atlas went, "Thank you very much. That's great. Oh, it's a weight off my shoulders." And went and got the apples. And when he came back, he was like, "Oh, this is really good. I don't want to go back to holding up the sky anymore."
Totally. I got my daughter's graduation in a couple of weeks.
Exactly. So he said, "Let me take the apples back for you." All right. And Heracles, sensing that Atlas was trying to pull a Swifty, he went, "Oh, yeah, sure. That's really nice of you. Thank you. But Can you just hold on to the sky just for 1 minute? It's really heavy, as you know. I'm just going to reposition my cloak to better, you know, better provide padding. So you just take this for a second. And as soon as he did that, Heracles went, thank you very much. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I took the apples. And Atlas Myth is the first recorded example of someone saying, how do you like them apples? Which is,
I think you might be right.
Rob Johnson. Yeah.
How do you like them apples?
The golden.
I love them.
Those Greeks, they're filled with little tricks, aren't they? Those ancient Greeks. They love a little trick.
And then, who was it? Was it Theseus or the other one? I'm going to get it wrong. I think it was Theseus. No, it wasn't. God, what's his name?
Give us a category.
Perseus.
Perseus. Yes. Did you say Perseus? Well done. Bonus points.
Very good.
It was Perseus.
I went to school with him.
To Atlas and, you know, kind of felt sorry for him and was like, hey, buddy, what about you look at this head of Medusa that I have?
Turn to stone.
And I'll turn you to stone. And that's what became the Atlas Mountains.
No way.
How about that?
Wow.
That is a great twist. That was a really great twist. And it was also, it was a pity ossification, which is one of the rarest ossifications, I find.
Yeah.
Petrification. Yeah. No, it's petrification, isn't it?
Petrification.
Ossification is
bones. Ossification would be bones, yeah.
Turn you into bones, man.
All right. Question number four. Name the author best known for his Discworld novels. You both
know Terry Pratchett.
It is Terry Pratchett. Well done. Are you Discworld consumers?
I was
actually.
Have you never read them?
No, never. Have you?
I read them when I was 14, when I was like devouring Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and I was like, what more can I get in this category?
Kind of like fantasy, like humorous fantasy,
exactly.
Right?
A sort of dystopic / utopic future, like lots of and in different worlds, which I really enjoyed. But also I now remember that I was reading them because I was trying to impress a guy. That's the actual reason I picked them up, because I was like, yeah, like Discworld, like all those turtles,
I mean, cool, how often does anyone ever read or watch anything without the intention of telling someone else they did it, you know?
It's
absolutely
right.
That is so true, isn't it?
So often.
Do you know how many novels there are in the Discworld series?
Oh, it's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is quite a lot.
It's something absurd, like 47 or something.
Oh, you're very close. It's 41.
Really?
41 novels in the series. The final Discworld novel, The Shepherd's Crown, was published in August 2015, 5 months after his death from Alzheimer's, a condition he described as an embuggerance.
What a wonderful word. What a great guy. Terry Pratchett.
You look at people as prolific as Terry Pratchett, and it's just like, oh no, it's already too late for me to do anything in my life. That's amazing. 41. Just
41,
that
and that's just in that series. Yeah, like he wrote other books as well.
I often think about what's his bloody name? Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, Douglas Adams.
Douglas Adams. I often think about what Douglas Adams could have made had he not died on a treadmill from a heart attack at 47. I'm like, there were so many more books in you, sir.
Wow, that's an embuggerance as well.
Isn't that terrible? And he was trying to get fit, you know, for his family, for his future. Died of a heart attack on a treadmill.
I didn't know that.
Well,
the rule is,
you know what that means.
Yeah. Never, ever exercise. Ever. It's obvious. I'm an ex-fake nurse too. You can trust me.
Yeah.
All right, question number five. Which Chinese tennis player was feared missing after making sexual assault allegations against a former Chinese vice premier?
I can't remember her name.
You don't know her name? Her initials are PS. No, I don't even want to throw one out there.
The last couple of weeks, isn't it? It's very recent.
It is indeed. Yeah.
Is it Perseus?
And just today.
No.
Just today, the Women's Tennis Association announced that all events in China and Hong Kong will be suspended immediately amid concern for her well-being after she accused a former politician
and
of
is she still
sexual assault.
Missing?
Well, she's apparently not missing anymore, but they know where she is apparently, but it's concerns that even though they know where she is, they don't know if she's okay, if
Jesus
she's being
Christ.
You know, held against her will, etc.
Oh my God, that's awful. That's absolutely
awful. Yeah, it's pretty horrible. I might just tell you. How about that?
Yes, please do.
Her name is Peng Shui. Does that ring a bell?
Rings a bell to you.
Yeah.
That's awful. And I.
So we cross our fingers for her.
Yes, please.
And I hope that this, you know, the WTA cancelling all events in China and Hong Kong will have some
absolutely
positive result for her.
Sanctions, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, on that slightly somber note, let's take another little break. We'll be right back.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to The Saturday Quiz. I'm with Rob Johnson and Virginia Gay, and they are up to question number 6. Which two homophones can be used to describe the characteristic quality of a sound and is a spoken warning as given by a lumberjack?
Oh, like timber and timber?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Timber. Really good.
Yeah.
I was about timber. To yell timber, and then I was like, what else does that also mean? Wait a minute. Oh, timbre. Yeah. Oh, no, of course. Yeah. Oh.
Yes. They are homophones, even though you slightly say, well, if you're...
Not say they were pronounced the same way.
You wouldn't say the timbre of your voice?
No, I would say the timbre. And I'd really roll the R, really just to ram it on home. Timbre.
Mrs. Janet Oviarch taught me in Year 5 music, timbre.
Timbre.
So that's all I meant. Yeah, right.
That's where they get the rings from, right?
To her?
Yes.
That's great. What else did she teach you? Did she teach you an instrument or singing?
She didn't teach me an instrument, but it was the same year that I was introduced to one of the great love affairs of my life, the playing of the tuba. So I was learning quite a lot about the very specific, beautiful timbre of the tuba.
The tuba timbre.
It's one of my favourite songs he plays. The tuba timbre.
Lots of lumberjacks also play the tuba.
Famously.
Do they?
I think so.
It's so easy to carry around.
Sousaphones, the marching band tuba. Lumberjacks love them.
Oh, I live for a sousaphone.
Wow.
Rob Johnson is an extraordinary tuba player. And he is famous not only for playing.
Do you get called a tubist? Is that what you are?
Yeah.
Is that really it? God, that doesn't sound right, does it?
Tubist.
It sounds like you're anti-tubist.
Yeah.
Tubist. Yeah.
Rob Johnson is famous for playing the tuba brilliantly in Calamity Jane and then is more famous for being loved by Lee Sales so hard that she's talked extensively about how Rob Johnson completely reformed her ideas of what a tuba player was and looked for. And it's now in the Chat 10 Looks 3 book. There's a page dedicated, without using your name, to the tuba player who changed Lee Sales' take on tuba players in Calamity Jane.
Yep.
That's extraordinary.
Isn't that amazing?
Great honour.
Wow.
It's true honour.
That's really fantastic.
It's really
beautiful. I love that.
He's very good. It's very impressive.
All right, question number 7. What does the A in DNA stand for?
Good, take it.
Acid.
It does stand for acid. Exactly right.
You want to know what the DN stands for?
Yeah,
I do want to know.
Deoxyribonucleic.
Ooh, yeah.
Wow. Why do you know so much about DNA?
Because he's stealing yours right now.
I'd prefer not to talk about it.
He's a villain. He's a villain, I tell you.
Are you secretly also a chemist?
Yes, I am. I studied to be a chemist, but then tuba playing took over. And then
you can't have two loves in this world. You can't.
It's one of those, like, very specific bits of knowledge. People are always saying, oh, why did we spend so much time learning algebra or calculus at school? Like, what's the point of that? But you still just retain very specific bits of information even though you've never used it. DNA is just one of those. I've always remembered learning about it in like year 8 science.
Yeah, brilliant.
And I remember being like, wow, that actually stands for something and being like amazed. And so I've just remembered it all.
I can only remember things like, I love talking about osmosis. Love talking about osmosis. Can't get enough of osmosis. High density to lower density. I mean, well, semi-permeable barriers. I mean, why not? Why not?
Why not? No, that's actually the person who led the Jewish people through the semi-permeable membrane was Osmosis.
Get out. Get this man out. You see why I put him in the panto now? You see why?
Yeah, Johnny, you get it. You like
I love it. Well, one of your Calamity Jane co-stars, Sheridan Harbridge,
I've heard of her,
is playing English chemist Rosalind Franklin.
True.
That's right.
In the play Photograph 51 at the Ensemble Theatre next year.
Also starring.
Are you in it?
Yes.
Get out.
I play Rosalind's underling, Ray Gosling, the person who
took the photo.
Yes.
Amazing. Well, yes, considerable controversy has arisen over the significance of the contribution of that image to the work of Watson and Crick and their discovery of the double helix shape of DNA,
yes,
which led to them winning the Nobel Prize along with Morris Wilkins in 1962. That's amazing. I didn't know you were in that play. That's really great.
Yeah, it's really great. And it's also an amazing story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stunning, like an actual rip-off. Amazing how brazen it was.
Because she, Rosalind Franklin, was doing that research at the same time, and she didn't realise that they were, you know, they got a copy of that photo without her knowledge.
Supplied to them by Wilkins, I believe.
I think
he was concerned that she wasn't pursuing it with the ambition for public success or adulation as much. Like, she was just doing the work and he was really like, no, this is a big discovery. It needs to be grabbed by people who want to be famous, kind of thing. I think Watson and Crick are actually is like a very generalized version of it. But he wanted to hitch his wagon to guys who wanted glory rather than just wanted to be in the lab doing work.
Boo. Boo.
What a bunch of jerks.
What a bunch of Nobel Prize stealing jerks.
Yep.
Boo.
All right, question number 8. Who succeeded Richard Nixon as United States president? Oh, you also know this.
Ford. I wasn't going to go with Gerald Ford, but as soon as it started, I was like, got it.
Who were you going to say, Virginia?
I was going to go all the way with LBJ, but then I realised that was a campaign slogan and he was not campaigning.
He immediately preceded Richard Nixon.
Really? Mm-hmm. Did not know that. There you go.
There you go.
Gerald Ford.
Which is how
it was Gerald Ford.
Always. In fact, that was why he didn't win afterwards. It took too long.
Correct. Do you know it wasn't always said that way? Do you know what his name was when he was born?
No.
Please say it was Perseus Fortescue.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? A great circle. No, unfortunately, it wasn't that, Perseus Fortescue. His real name was Leslie Lynch King Jr.
Oh.
His name was Lynch King? That is not a good name. That is not.
It's not great.
That is not a family that you want to like the family trait.
Well, certainly Leslie Lynch King Sr. was apparently a bit of a jerk, and his Gerald Ford's mother separated from his father, and then met another man. And although he never officially adopted Gerald, the younger. The son,
he did
take his name. Great. So he became Gerald. He was Gerald Ford Jr. actually.
Ford.
Exactly. But he wasn't. It's really interesting because Nixon's running mate for the 68 and 72 presidential elections was, do you know, Rob, you're nodding?
It was Spiro Agnew.
It was Spiro Agnew.
Who also went down for corruption. What a pair.
Yes. Yeah. So he should have been the next in line.
Oh, wow.
But as Watergate was starting, Agnew had his own troubles, eventually pleading no contest to a felony charge of tax evasion and resigning from the vice presidency. And so when Nixon resigned on August 9th, 1974, Ford automatically assumed the presidency, making him the only person to become the US's chief executive without having won an election for either president or vice president.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is wild.
Very well done. You knew it was Gerald Ford. And it seems that you, Rob, have some secret knowledge about US politics.
Yeah, weirdly, it's, I think, better than my knowledge of Australian politics.
Yeah.
Here's something very weird for you. One of the very bizarre things that I was doing during lockdown to, like, you know, train my brain or whatever was learning the order of US presidents.
No way.
And for like a little while, I knew them, but I would just like write them down.
Wow. God. Yeah. We had to do a lot of things.
Wow. Yeah, that's desperate.
Who was trapped in a weird holiday layover, that this is many years ago now. And they were suspended there. There was some, you know, volcanic eruption or something, and they were trapped in paradise, but it was actually really quite stressful.
Okay.
And they learnt all of the capital cities of every country in the world. And now you can just ask them and you go, Malawi, and they go, like, that's whatever, just like amazing. Yeah. Like, they're just straight in.
In telling that story, you know what you should do is you should learn at least one capital of one country.
I have to say, as I said, Malawi, I was like, oh, I don't know.
Why did I pick this one?
Yeah. There was one that I was like, it'll be really impressive, and it didn't come to me in time, and it's still not here, and I'm okay with that.
All right.
In telling
Let's go
story.
To question number 9.
Okay.
Released in 1995. What was the first feature-length film created entirely by CGI?
1995. Feature-length film entirely in CGI.
Entirely created by CGI.
Is it the Lion King?
It's not the Lion King, but you're right. It is, you know, more or less animated.
Is it in the Disney pantheon?
Is it in the Pixar? It is now. Pantheon? It is the
Toy Story.
Toy Story is the right answer.
Was that CGI, was it? Really?
Yeah.
So does that mean they did motion capture and things? Or
no, they didn't do motion capture. They just made it all up in a computer.
Jeez, how good's Toy Story?
How good.
How good's Toy Story?
What a great.
Amazing.
Great. Toy Story 3, which I still haven't seen because everybody tells me I will cry so fucking hard.
Oh, yeah, you will. You really will. And Toy Story 4, I thought they were making a big mistake going back after Toy Story 3 because it's so heartbreaking. But Toy Story 4 is also a very good film.
Terrific.
Yeah. I would say that the Toy Story series or franchise is the best, what do you call, four films?
Quadrilogy.
Quadrilogy in existence. They're all four of them are very good.
That's great.
So consistent.
All right, we're up to the final question. You've been doing very, very well.
Thanks.
Here we go. Question number 10. Which Australian senator last month declared being held accountable for your own actions isn't called discrimination? It's called being, you wouldn't believe it, a goddamn bloody adult.
Jackie Lambie.
Very well done. You may have answered the most questions together out of anyone I've ever had on this
on
this quiz.
It's what happens when you make a lot of theatre together. Yes. We're like, oh, it's good to be inside your brain.
Yes.
In stereo the whole way through.
That's so true.
Very well done. It was Jackie Lambie.
And she's now also become a glorious meme. So people TikTok along to her, and I'm very into it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, right.
Jackie Lambie, I feel like, in Australian politics, sums up or like embodies the thing about politicians where it's like, okay, on certain fronts I just do not agree with you, but you're very out there about the things that are your positions, and so therefore I know how I disagree with you, and also I can then appreciate when you act like an absolute boss and say things how they are, and it's like, yes, great. I don't have to feel resentful or like I'm compromising myself by saying, yeah, no, well said.
Yeah, that is true.
Good on her.
All right, we're gonna take one more break. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rob Johnson, Virginia Gay, well done.
Thanks
Johnny Leary.
Thank you so much both for doing the quiz.
A delight. Thanks for having us.
Well, you are the delight.
Having us.
In unison. It's been my absolute pleasure. Good luck with the rest of the show. Break legs. I assume that you're selling very well.
We are, like, I have to say we're, it's not like completely sold out, which
right.
is partly we went from 75% to 100% today, yesterday maybe. So there are suddenly more seats on sale.
Oh, great.
So it's been a little bit of a slow ramp up, but we are determined to sell out. So, yes, please tell all your friends and
absolutely.
Thanks so much.
Everyone should go and see it.
It's very
in my absence.
Fun.
It's extremely
It really
fun.
Is. And it's also got a secret fucking revolutionary heart, which is actually doing good in the world. So it feels like frippery, but it's actually like an amazing, like nourishing meal as well.
I really do hope that you bring it to Melbourne so that I can see it. At some point.
It'd be very fun. Maybe you'll come and audition for us. Yes, please.
I would love to.
That'd be great.
Pleasure having you both.
Thank you so much, Johnny. Thanks for having us.
That's another episode of The Saturday Quiz done and dusted. Thanks so much for listening. If you are in Sydney, go and see The Boomkak Panto, which was written by and stars Virginia Gay, with Rob Johnson playing multiple villains. Thanks to those of you who supported the show this week. There was a whole bunch of you. I'm very grateful. And I'm sorry, Peter, that I don't know how to make it a monthly commitment. But if you just give to the show whenever you remember to, I'm sure that'll be fine. Please tell everyone you know about this podcast. It is surprising how many people secretly love quizzes. Let's not let it be a secret anymore. Oh, and for those of you playing along at home, the capital of Malawi is Lilongwe. Thanks as ever to Cindy McDonald for writing such a great quiz. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.